my message to you today. My scripture reading is in Revelation, and so I'd like for you to turn to Revelation 21, and let's start at verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write, for these things are faithful and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I also want to skip to the 22nd verse of Revelation 21. "I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it in the daytime, for there will be no night there. Its gates will never be closed, and they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abominations and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for these words. And Heavenly Father, we know that they are truth and they are life. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you work your work within our hearts and lives to effect the changes that you would have to occur. And Lord, let we ever be on the path that leads to you and that draws us closer to you. And in all these things, we give praise and honor to you. And Lord, we ask your blessings in the rest of the message, and let it be heard and understood as you would have. In the name of Yeshua, we ask these things, and amen. My text to you today is taken from the book of John, and I would like for us to look at John 14 and starting at the first verse. "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I know you, as I look forward to that day when we can be with Yeshua and Yahweh. And that where they are, we will be also forevermore. And Yeshua, as the Word lets us know, is now preparing that place for us. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And we know that Almighty Yahweh does not ever do anything halfway, that it's always beyond the wildest expectations in all measure of magnitude and in beauty. And so we have much to look forward to. My message to you today is entitled, A Prepared Place. You know, when you think about our future, it is a wonderful and glorious future. And it is beyond our wildest imaginations in every respect how wonderful and how beautiful that it is going to be. There is a great move coming for you and I. We don't know exactly how far off in the future that it is, but it's many that thinks that it has to be very soon. And even the Word of God itself, 2,000 years ago, spoke of it being, as it were, at the door, very close at hand. And so we know if descriptions like that were 2,000 years ago, think how close it is today. And also think that we are in God's time, somewhere in the neighborhood of 6,000 years into His creation. And so it's natural to think that that 1,000 year period, being starting at 7,000, the year 7,000 and going on to that through the 1,000, we have that to think about as being a very real possibility. And since all of us hope one day that heaven, that prepared place for us, is going to be our future dwelling place, our home forever and ever and ever, then we want to know all that we can know about this future home of ours. The Bible is the best source to go to find out exactly what lies in the future, exactly what heaven is going to be like. And we should devote ourselves to diligent study of the Word of God so that we can learn as much as possible about heaven. Let's consider some things concerning this great move of ours to come, this future home of ours. Consider the perfect holiness of heaven. And in Revelation 21 and 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. Don't you want to be there? And I think we are there. And I'm so thankful to Yahweh that He includes us in there. But we can know that we're there because we can know that we're holding on to His hand. We have no intention of ever turning loose of His hand and of those promises that are made to us within His Word and of His plan of salvation, that as we commit human faults and shortcomings, that we have the knowledge that Yeshua came as part of God's plan to pay the price. He, as the perfect, sacrificial, Passover Lamb of God, shed His precious blood for each and every one of us. And only through that can we have the hope that we do. Can we have the assurance that we do, that we are God's people. We are His sons and daughters. We are in His family forever. And you and I should never have any intention of being otherwise. That we should know that nothing in the future will ever catch us not holding on to that hope and not holding on to Yahweh and Yeshua and depending on Him, accepting salvation, repenting of our sins if we have them and if they occur, and ever as such, the blood sacrifice covers the sin. It restores us and keeps us in right standing with God. And so we will never find ourselves not holding on to His hand. Heaven is a holy place, and it's made holy for a prepared people, for a holy people. Only those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and have experienced that rebirth that Yeshua talked about. You must be born again. And you are born again. That transformation is made. The old person dies out daily. And the new person, the new you, the more Yahweh-like you, becomes the real you. And I'm so glad of Yahweh's plan of redemption and His plan for the future, His plan for the present. It's not just the future that's going to be more joyous. It's the here and now. Your whole life is blessed and more blessed by knowledge of Yahweh and by abiding in His words and in His plans, accepting His gifts of salvation, His gifts of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and be with you each moment of every day of your life. God has help for you in every situation, in every circumstance. He will not ever leave you alone. God is a delivering God. He is a sustaining God. And He will never forsake or leave you. Not only is heaven the place of perfect holiness, consider the health that is there in heaven. On earth, we know there is no perfect health. And in youth, we enjoy virtually, as close as can be expected humanly, as close to perfect health in youth. But as time goes by, years take their toll. When we look in the mirror each and every day, we don't see the same one that we saw even 5 years ago. Changes happen naturally. But you know, in heaven, if there were a mirror, you wouldn't see the change. It wouldn't be a change. That's just one of many things to look forward to in the future. The inspired writer says that in the new heaven, there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any pain, for the former things are passed away. In Revelation 21:4. There won't be any more colds, no more fever, flu, stomach viruses, exhausting pains, and no more hospitals. There will also be no more headaches, stomach aches, back aches, heart aches. Some of the heartaches are some of the worst kinds. Much worse than back aches and stomach aches. No one will be bowed down with the infirmities of old age. Each will walk with the step of an athlete, forever young and vigorous. Isn't that something to look forward to? You know, I had an aunt that was part of this church virtually as long as it existed. And she sat in the corner of that second pew over on my left with her husband. She was crippled from birth. She played guitar and helped out in the service as much as she possibly could, kept records each Sabbath of who was here, of the church service. Her name was Jessie Robertson. And I think of her often because of her contributions, the type of person that she was, part of the heritage of this church. And I thank God for those that have went on before. I thank God for the memories of her and others that have been a part of this church. And I want you to know that when she, along with we, are in heaven, she won't be crippled. She'll be in just as good a health as everyone else. And I thank God for His plan in that regard. Consider the music of heaven and the singers. Let's look at Revelation 14 and the first verse. We're going to read 5 verses. Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with Him 144,000, having His name and the name of His Father written on their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of a loud thunder, and the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. These are the ones who have not been defiled with women, for they have kept themselves chaste. They are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And no lie was found in their mouth, and they are blameless. Don't you know what that sounded like to hear the music and the singing that was going on, that will go on at that time? There's nothing more inspiring than beautiful music. There perhaps is going to be white-robed choirs there on different occasions, singing some of the most beautiful music that has ever been heard. David, perhaps, will be there with his harp. Gabriel, maybe with his trumpet. Perhaps congregations upon congregations will beat time to the music. Hearts will be eternally lifted up, and souls giving praise and glory forever and ever to Yeshua and Yahweh. Consider not only the music that will be in heaven, but consider the reunions in heaven. Just think at the many hellos, but yet no goodbyes. Goodbye is one of those sad words that in our language. And sometimes we have to say goodbye for varying lengths of time. But it's especially hard to say our own goodbyes in our own ways, to know that those that are passing on, not going to be able to call them on the phone anymore. Not going to hear their voice on the end of the line saying, "Hello, how are you doing today?" But you know, in heaven, goodbye is going to be gone. It's going to be wonderful there. No one likes to be parted, but parted from a loved one. In heaven, there shall be no more death to separate us from those that we love. When we get to heaven, we will be united with those who have gone before. We will be welcome at the pearly gates. We will be welcome as we walk down the golden streets. You know, I once had a teacher in high school tell me that the Bible don't really mean what it says, when it says about the things in heaven being out of the most precious of stones, the most beautiful of things that exist that we could possibly in our human minds imagine. And this teacher told me the Bible don't really mean that. It's just figurative. It's just a way to describe something pretty, but it don't literally mean that. I didn't believe her then, and I don't believe anyone else now that believes that way. I'm looking for a place that's beautiful beyond my imagination. And I know if God made it, if he had anything at all to do with it, which he does, it's going to be beyond my wildest imagination in every respect, but particularly in beauty, in magnitude, in every aspect. I'm very thankful to my Heavenly Father that He has such plans for His family, for His sons and daughters. We will not only go up those golden streets, but we will be welcomed by that river of life that has those trees that will be ever bearing on both sides of the stream. I don't think that's going to be figuratively. I think it's going to be literally. There will be food, there will be trees, there will be ever bearing, it will be fruit that will come at all times, and we can go up and take a bite of them. And I'm sure I'll be one of the first ones to try. And I'm looking forward to that. We will be welcomed at the Heavenly Father's house. Yahweh and Yeshua will be the temple there. There will be no need of light. The Lamb will light heaven. Isn't that something? How that will be. But it will be. Yeshua is the way to this prepared place. He is the preparer. He is the way to it. Jesus said unto him, in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Yes, the little one that came first as a babe in a manger. The one who was raised by good Jewish parents to know the law, to know the ways that were taught at that time. He received it all. And he became as his father, a carpenter. And he has and is preparing the place for us to accept as our future home, our future dwelling place. It's for those who trust Him, those who believe in Him, and those who follow Him. It takes some doing. It takes some action. It's not that we are all on the receiving end of everything. There is something to do. Yahweh and Yeshua expects us to work. Expects us to go into all the world and teach others as we have been taught and as we learn from our studies in His Word. We're to help others. We're to abide in His Word. We are to do His commandments and His statutes and His laws. Faith without works is dead. Works are required. Works are necessary. with faith, let us trust him now. And in faithfulness, let us follow him. Let's know more about him now. And as we walk this walk, and as life comes to us, let us trust him. Go to him first with any problems and any concerns. That's what he's there for. We are family. We are sons and daughters. He is our loving Father. He wants us to commune. He wants communication. Else, why would he have set aside that one day out of seven to remember him, to come together, to assemble ourselves together, and try to be of help to each other, and to honor and respect and love him? He wants that each and every Sabbath of the week. It's holy time. It's set apart time. It's sacred time, sanctified. Not like the other days of the week. Enter into his rest, and it will be a rest as you change your heart and your minds in that knowledge, and you enter into that Friday night at sunset. You enter into that special time with that knowledge. It will never be like any other rest. It is different. It is his rest. It is his gift to us. It is what he set as an example for us. He set the first example, Yahweh. And we follow. So we get a foretaste of heaven in abiding in his word and in doing his commands and following his statutes and law and keeping his Sabbath days holy. You know, another example that he wants much communication with us is that he made the festival days throughout the year. Many people don't know that. Many sons and daughters don't have that knowledge. But as you have that knowledge, you realize that fits perfectly in the plan. You have it because he wants more communication with you. He wants you to realize that these are wonderful days to acknowledge him and his plans and all the different things that have happened throughout all of history and is going to happen in the future and is happening now. He wants us to know this and live in those truths. Accept his festival days, as we read in Deuteronomy 23. If you would, stand with me right now. And I would like to wish each and every one of you a wonderful Shabbat Shalom. May God's wonderful, blessed peace overflow upon you the rest of this Sabbath. And may you always abide in that peace that he has for you. Right now we want to read God's blessing to us and ours to each other together. Let's read this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Aren't those some of the most wonderful and blessed words that you will ever hear? Amen. Bow with me in prayer.